Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Oderico, and joining me is LPGA professional Cindy Miller, and we are your hosts. We're broadcasting live every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the blogtalkradio.com network, bringing you some of the best golfers, teacher professionals, and entrepreneurs helping to elevate women's golf. We're so glad you decided to join us this morning, so grab your coffee and let's get started. All right. Thank you again, everybody, for joining Cindy and I this morning here on the Women of Golf Show. We're very excited to have you join us this morning. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ted. I'm back.
You're back. That's right. Yeah, you disappeared
I've
for a week.
I've left you in the dust.
That's all right. Listen, it was an interesting week as well. Last week, of course, we had Lauren Coughlin from the Symetra Tour, who didn't win, but she was in a playoff the previous week at the inaugural Sky Golf Championship on the Symetra Tour. And we had a great conversation. And just a quick note for the audience, that those that went that maybe couldn't join us live but went to go after and listen to the show, you know, when it was convenient for you guys, you might have noticed that it wasn't playing properly. So they had an audio issue with the provider, blogtalkradio.com, at the time. But it has since been fixed. So if you missed last week's broadcast, it was definitely a great show. You want to go back into the on-demand section and check that out. So go to blogtalkradio.com and just type in Women of Golf and just scroll down to the on-demand section, and you can listen to that interview. So my apologies for that, but everything, all the bugs have been worked out, and it was a great interview. So I hope you'll go back and listen to that. And we got a great show, Cindy, this morning. We're going to have the winner of the Florida's Natural Charity Classic. Kelly Tan is going to be joining us here in just a moment. And then a little bit later on, we're going to be joined by Marvel Bernard, who is the national president of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. She's going to be joining us on the second half. But very quickly, before we bring Kelly out on the show, you were off last week. What were you doing last week?
Boot camp in Orlando.
Oh, was there
grown-ups.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. I thought you
didn't
have another one until
bleeding.
April. I didn't.
No, I've got February, March, and April. You got to find a way to get out of Buffalo, Ted.
Yeah. Move to Florida. That's what you need to do. That's what you and Alan need to do.
But I like it here. I just don't want to be here all the time in the winter.
Yeah, I hear you. Being a northerner myself, I know exactly what it was like, and I had my fair share over the years. But anyways, we got a great show. Let me just, Cindy, let me just tell a little bit about Kelly, and then we'll bring her on the show, and then we'll talk about her win and some other things. As I mentioned, we've got the winner from this past weekend's Symetra Tour's Florida's Natural Charity Classic, Kelly Tan, and she's 25, a native from Malaysia. She's a three-time winner of the Malaysian Ladies Open as an amateur. She was also a two-time champion on the Professional Golf of Malaysia Tour, or PGM Tour for short. She finished tied 13th at the final stage of the 2013 LPGA qualifying tournament to earn priority list Category 12 membership for the 2014 LPGA Tour season. She turned pro immediately after completing that event, and also represented her native country at the 2016 Summer Olympic Games and finished a solo 51st. So let's welcome the winner of last week's Florida's Natural Charity Classic on the Symetra Tour, Kelly Tan.
Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well,
we are thrilled.
We appreciate. Yeah, we're very, very excited to have you on it. And from both Cindy and I, congratulations, of course, on the win. I know that's very exciting for you. And we appreciate you, as you mentioned off air, that you're out in Phoenix right now. So you're up really, really early, even earlier than we are. So we appreciate you taking the time to come and join us this morning.
Yeah, no problem, because I think my body is still on Orlando time zone. So it's all good.
Oh, that's good. And one other thing I want to just mention, Cindy, then we'll get started. Kelly was in a sudden death playoff against Demi Runes, who is, I believe, from California. And they were both tied at 13 under par, and then they went into sudden death. And of course, obviously, Kelly was the ultimate winner of the event. And I want to—I'm just going to start off, Cindy, if you don't mind, and then I'll bounce it over to you. Obviously, again, Kelly, congratulations on the win, and no less than a sudden death playoff, which is always exciting. And that's actually 2 weeks in a row for the Symetra Tour. Their inaugural event, as I mentioned the previous week, the Sky Golf Championship, it went to sudden death as well. And it was decided in a playoff, and then right back to back, you won it in the playoff as well. So, tell us about a little bit about your final round and your matchup against Demi.
Yeah, no, it's the first time as a professional I get to play in a final group, and just coming into the week, I feel really good, even though I didn't play too well in the Sky Eye Golf Championship. But I took a lot of positive and bring it with me on to last week for the Florida Natural Classic, and just found a little something in myself to get my confidence up. And, you know, I had a really good week. Just going on to final day, I know that it's going to be tight because, you know, there's a lot of girls, you know, within one or two shots just behind me.
Right.
But just keep telling myself to give myself chances and, you know, just try to not think about wanting to win instead of, you know, just do my best and see where I can put myself. And I'm glad everything worked out in the end.
Right, right. And yeah, because I know you had your previous season, you didn't play as well. And obviously that can be, you know, a little bit of, you know, I guess a downer for lack of better words. And mm-hmm. you know, so you wanted to come out obviously with this season. And as you just mentioned, you know, in the Sky Golf, you didn't play, you know, maybe at your best. So that, you know, to start the season kind of put you in a little bit of a different mindset as well. But then you bounced right back this past week and ended up winning the tournament in sudden death. So, you know, that obviously is going to change the momentum for the season. So let me ask you real quick, and Cindy, I'm going to bounce it over to you, as I said. When you're coming off a season like last season where, you know, you just didn't feel like everything was firing all at the same time, what do you do in the off season, if you will? I know you guys don't have a lot of off season anymore because the tournament's pretty much run all year round, but in your off season time, what do you do to both physically and mentally prepare for the new season?
For me, I didn't go for 2 months. I decided to, you know, not touch my clubs for 2 months. I did not unpack my club when I flew back to Malaysia, and just, you know, visit with friends and family and just really take some time off because, you know, I played on LPGA for 4 years and, you know, we have pretty long seasons, and it was hard for me for, you know, coming from Malaysia and not be able to see my family, you know, for, you know, a long, long time. And it's just, I think everything happens for a reason. And it was great that I was able to spend a lot of time with my friends and family at home last season. And just, you know, I worked out with my fitness coach, Rich, a lot. Like, we really worked hard on, you know, just getting stronger. And, you know, it's hard when you're coming off in a, you know, it was a bad year. There's no other word I could describe it, but it wasn't a great year. So it was hard to be motivated and, you know, wanting to work harder to get better. Just, you know, but I'm so grateful with, you know, the people around me, you know, my team, my coach, my fitness coach, my, you know, manager and families and friends that, you know, have never doubted me, you know, have been by my side
right.
The whole entire time, even though, you know, last year was a really, really hard year for me to, you know, take it with me. And just, you know, when you have a hard year, it's hard to find positives. I'm just really grateful for my team, you know, to be able to be by my side, and, you know, just that really helped me, you know, wanting to work harder and be motivated. And I'm glad, you know, I never gave up. And yeah, here I am.
Well, we're glad you didn't give up either. We're very excited to have you.
Sorry to be a little emotional.
No, I think that's fantastic. We like some emotion here. Cindy, go ahead.
So I'm going to keep going on that because, again, I believe you're right. We go through things for a reason. And mm-hmm. I'm very proud of you for just putting your clubs down. I believe that sometimes when we play golf, we almost believe that we are what we shoot, and
mm-hmm.
our self-image is controlled by how we do. So I played
yeah.
on the LPGA Tour for a few years, and I ended up losing my card, and I would come home. I mean, maybe it was good that you couldn't go home every week, because I would come home and they go, oh, well, you missed
yeah.
the card. What's wrong? Why do you keep playing so bad? You play good this
yeah.
day, and then you play, and it's like, you know what? I really don't want to hear it, because I'm not trying to play bad. So
yeah.
you're very fortunate that you had a really good team behind you that believed in you, but there's so much self-doubt. So,
yes.
And I think our listeners don't realize how hard playing competitive professional golf is. They only
yes.
see the highs. They don't see the lows.
Yeah.
So what would you tell them how you dealt with really maybe not even believing that you're doing the right thing, that maybe you shouldn't even play golf? How
yeah,
did you
know,
get out of there?
Just like, you know, I played on the LPGA again for 4 years. For having a bad year and lost my card, that hit me so hard. Like it almost pushed me off a building. I don't even know how to describe that feeling. It was really, really hard, and I believe the only reason why I didn't do well last year, it was because of that. Like I couldn't – it was hard for me to stand back up and be like, hey, I belong there. I can work harder. I will get back. It was really, really hard, but, you know – again, never once my team doubted me. They, you know, even my parents, even when I have my bad weeks, they never ever said, why did you play bad? Like, why? Like, how can you be so good and today you don't do it? Like, they understand that, you know, it's golf. It's
right.
And not every day is going to be perfect, you know. So I'm super grateful that my parents are not very, very pushy of my career. They have been super supportive. Yeah, I can't ask for a better parents to be, you know, to have, you know. I've seen a lot of parents out here where they're with their kids, you know, every single week, which, you know, my mom and dad are not like that. They come over once a year. As you know, I have four other siblings. They can afford to spend every single day with me. And thank goodness for that. But just, you know, with my coach, Gary Gilchrist, I've worked with Gary for 2.5 years now. You know, I went to him when, you know, I was almost losing my LPGA card. But, you know, again, he's never doubted me. He's always told me that I've got the game. I've got the swing. I just need a little confidence and I'll be the exact same player, but more confidence, and you're going to win tournaments. And I thought he was just saying because he is a coach. So, but for some reason, I keep trusting that and, you know, working hard with him and just also believing in myself. I think it was the number one thing. It was hard, but just work hard, you know, guys. Like, it's not easy. Nothing is going to come easy, but good thing is going to happen if you keep working. It might not happen tomorrow, but it's going to come down to, you know, maybe a year or two or – you know, who knows? Just keep at it and keep giving yourself chances and, you know, it's going to happen. That's all I can tell from my experience.
So let me ask you this. When you reflect back on your game and maybe why you lost your card, do you look at the stats? Because there's such a fine line between playing really well and losing your
mm-hmm.
card. My husband
yeah.
and I happen to be the only married couple in the world that have played on all four major tours. So my hubby's played in the Masters
Sweet.
5 times.
That's
and,
awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, and so I can tell you that if he had made one putt more per round,
yeah,
we would be multimillionaires.
Yeah.
So
I've done that stats with my coach as well. Obviously, putting is going to save, you know, a lot of, you know, what has happened the last few years. But I still believe that everything comes down to your confidence. Like, if your confidence is low, I mean, gosh, it's hard to play the game. You know, it's so much of a mind game that you cannot let, you know, your mind take over, you almost have to be a lot stronger than what you are and beat those thoughts. And I think, you know, a lot of the times when you miss the little three-footer, it's all because of doubting. So if you have, you know, try to, for me, is I try to, you know, do drills that makes me confident instead of, you know, like, I don't know, you know, hit 100 putts within 10 feet with, you know, not missing one. And that gives me confidence knowing that I've done it 100 times and this shouldn't be a problem, you know, stuff like that. Just, you know, do a little something. If today I go out and, you know, didn't pitch very well in the par 5 because I don't hit it very long. So par 5, I always try to score. So if I don't pitch very well that day, it's hard for me to score for the day. So I'll come back and try to hit, you know, set up cones out there and hit, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 yarders. And until I know I can hit the number, that gives me confidence and it's a different ballgame the next day.
Awesome.
That's my point of view.
Very interesting. You know, Cindy, I know we've talked about this before that, and not just players, but obviously a lot of the amateurs, that there comes a point where they develop a paralysis by analysis. And I think that's really what you're, you know, trying to say, is it's good to be conscious of the numbers. And obviously that information can be valuable, Kelly, as a player. But sometimes if we get too steeped into those figures and the numbers and dwell on it, you know, then it gets to a point where you're starting to count every stroke as you go around the golf course instead of actually playing the game. You know, or your scoreboard watching and so on and so forth. Let me ask you, Kelly, I want to sort of bounce off what Cindy was just talking about. You know, when you're not playing your best, there's other factors involved. I mean, obviously you're going to go out there and one day you're going to play fantastic and the next day maybe you're not going to play so much. One of the other things that I think a lot of people, and I'm referring to the amateurs, don't appreciate, you know, they see, as Cindy said, all the highs on TV of the when they see the professionals playing, they don't see the lows. But the other thing that they don't appreciate is you guys do a lot of traveling throughout the year. So, you know, so exhaustion comes into it. I mean, here you are, you're on our radio show this morning. You know, you're what, an hour or so behind us. So you're up bright and early. You've probably got things that, you know, that you've got to do for the next event and you're doing, you know, radio spots and things like that. So there's other factors involved. So what do you do throughout the season to help keep those energy levels up? I mean, do you work out? Do you, you know, get in some sort of fitness regime? And then what about diet, you know, as far as nutritional things? What do you do to make sure that you're being properly fueled to give you that energy to sustain your rounds?
Yeah. I mean, for us on the Sumatra Tour, there's a lot of traveling and there's a lot of driving. I mean, you know, 10 to 12 hours driving, but, you know, to this event, I flew here. But just, you know, me and my fitness coach, Rich, we try to set up programs for me every week, doing, you know, even if it's a 3-day event or 4-day event, it depends on, you know, how busy I am. Sometimes you have to play pro-ams and interviews. So I try to work out two to three times a week if I can, if not at least twice a week. And my workouts are not, you know, running 5Ks or stuff like that, but it's more like activation, you know, making sure that I'm, you know, mobility, I have the range of mobility and, you know, stuff like that, nothing crazy, like a good 45 to 50 minutes in the gym. And when it comes down to nutrition, I believe that I don't eat very well. Like, I don't eat bad, but I still love my, you know, ice creams and dessert. So I don't go too much over the line of, you know, like what I can and can't eat. But when I'm on a golf course, of course, I won't sugar load myself. I will have, you know, peanuts or bananas or a PBJ in my bags. I always have food in my bag. So that's one thing that's very good with me. So just try to eat well and, you know, make sure I'm hydrated on the golf course to keep myself at, you know, the best concentration level as I can.
Yeah, that's some great advice for our amateurs out there listening. You know, one of the biggest mistakes we see with a lot of them, especially I'm going to throw the men out under the bus, if you will. But, you know, a lot of men go to the golf course. They don't, you know, necessarily have a good breakfast to start the day off. They're out there playing 18 holes and, you know, they're right by about the third hole. They're looking for the girl, you know, the cart girl, looking for a beer or something like that. And, you know, and then they're, you know, maybe chewing on a Snickers bar or something. And then, you know, when they hit the turn, they're shoveling down a chili dog or, you know, maybe a couple of more beers. And then they wonder why they feel lethargic by the time, they get to about the 15th hole. You know, they're not fueling themselves. And I know it's about having fun, and we're not trying to take away from anybody's fun, but you have to put things in perspective, right, Cindy? I mean, if you're going to go out there and you want to, you know, not necessarily play competitively as Kelly's doing, but you want to go out and play your best golf, you got to be smart about it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's just something that that you've got to really focus on. I just want to ask one more, and Cindy, I'll let you wrap things up here. But we mentioned in the beginning, too, that obviously you got out on the LPGA tour for a little while and obviously lost your card. This win obviously is going to help build back towards getting your card. What do you forecast for the season? What's your vision for this season?
Yeah, so I'll be playing on a Symmetra Tour and maybe try a couple Mondays or two because I still have Class A veteran status on the LPGA Tour. So that's pretty honored to have that this year. So next week I'll be heading to Beaumont, California to play the Morongo Symmetra Tour Classic. And then we have Windsor in San Francisco, and then I have a two-week job. So I'll be playing a lot out on the Symmetra Tour to try to keep my ranking up. And, yeah, that's the plan so far. Things changes a lot in my life, so that's as far as I can plan.
Right. Well, and that's good, you know, that you've got an idea and you've got, you have to have goals as well while you're out there. It's not just about, I mean, obviously you have to focus on the event at hand. I mean, if you're in a, you know, event or something this week and obviously last week you have to focus, but at the same time, you got to have some, in addition to some short term, you got to have some long term goals as well to keep yourself focused throughout the season. So that's some great advice.
Yeah.
Cindy, we just only got a few, we only got a few more minutes before we have to let Kelly go. Any final thoughts or questions?
Let's talk about the fact that you don't hit it that far, but you must be pretty straight because I, like you, don't hit it very far. So we have to have a better short game.
Yes.
How do you, I'm proud of you. Not everybody gets to hit it 275, 280. I've tried to buy yardage everywhere. So what do you do to help yourself, just be the best player you possibly can be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to play with Laura Wen a couple of days ago in the final group. I mean, she bombs the drive. I'm not kidding. 300 yards. She flies my drive. 50 yards every single hole. Just watching that, it was so hard. She's one of the longest hitter on the Symmetra Tour. But it's hard when you play with, you know, a long hitter like that. But a lot, I just kept telling myself, you know, I just got to play my own game. Like, you know, I know I could do it. And knowing yourself, it's the biggest thing. And just knowing that I can get up and down from everywhere. And, you know, me and my coach, we work very, very hard knowing that, you know, a lot of the par fives I can't reach into. But just, you know, worked on those pitches that I know if I step over that pitch, it's going to be, you know, within a 6 to 10 foot radius and make the putt. But we worked very, very hard on chipping as well. So with Gary, he has this short game area in his academy that we go around, you know, the green, and he set up, you know, stations. And there are some holes I have to, you know, I don't know if like one of they in the academy, we have those tube balls, and I believe in like one tube they have maybe 15 or 18 balls. So we always try to finish the drill with one tube, and he always tell me when it comes down to like the last 5 or 6 balls, if I need to chip one in, he's like, well, you know, you got it if you make it this time. So he always pushed me to the limit to, you know, try to, you know, chip it in and finish the drills and stuff like that. And I think that helps me a lot, just knowing that, you know, I can do it, and I've done it so many times with my coach. And, you know, when you're out on the course, you know, just pick the right shot and, you know, and do it. So that's how I go about it.
Awesome.
Very good. Well, Kelly, we want to thank you for getting up a little extra early this morning and joining us on the Women of Golf show. We appreciate you taking the time. And again, on behalf of Cindy and I, congratulations on your win last week of the Florida's Natural Charity Classic. We know that that's going to help propel you for the season. And we wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season. And go get that LPGA card.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you guys. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
All right. You
don't give up.
Yeah, you have a good one. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You guys too. Bye.
All right, that was our first guest this morning, Kelly Tan, the winner, as I said, of last week's Symmetra Tour's Florida's Natural Charity Classic. Very, very focused young lady, and I like her answer. You know, she knows she can't, you know, Cindy, she knows she can't bomb it out there with some of the other big hitters, but she plays her own game, which is extremely important. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? The breath of fresh air, to be honest with you, because so many of them hit it so far. So,
yeah,
you know, for her to realize, you know, this is the strength of my game is to hit it straight. I have to have a great short game. It doesn't matter how far I hit it. I'm going to save this recording and I'm going to play it. We've got a young girl that we teach now who's a senior in college who just finished second at a college event, and I am going to make her listen to this because she's trying to hit it farther. And straight is far. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you're hitting it, you know, 235, 240, even 250 straight as opposed to 300 all over the place, I think I'd take the 250 straight any day. And you know, it brings up a really interesting point, Cindy, you know, because a lot of you know, I'm sure a lot of these other players out there that when they're coming up against and they're paired with somebody who is bombing out there, you know, sometimes just subconsciously they're sitting, okay, I've got to really step up my game. And then it throws them off their rhythm because they're trying to do something that they're not able to do. Now, obviously you can work on things, you know, when you're with your coach and stuff like that to try and get some distance. But if you're not a big, big hitter, don't try to force something that's not going to happen, because ultimately other areas of your game that you could be focusing on to make up for that shortage are going to be, you know, a much better, you know, thing to pay attention to. And I think that this is something that, you know, our amateurs can learn from as well. You know, just because your playing buddies are beating it out there a mile and you're not, focus on other areas of your game. Your putting, for instance, and your chipping, as, you know, she mentioned, you know, if she's not chipping or pitching it well, you know, then she's not scoring on those par fives because she knows she can't get there on two. So some great advice for a lot of our amateurs listening. Well, I enjoyed having her on. We'll hopefully she'll win again and we'll have her back. But anyways, all right. So we got our other guest and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this correct. And I'm asking her to correct me when she comes on. But our next guest this morning is Marvel Bernard. She is the national president of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. She is also the recipient of the 2018 PGA National Player Development Award for her innovative and tireless efforts in bringing people to the game of golf and keeping them in the game, which, of course, is the big part of it. Her many awards include being named LPGA National Teacher of the Year, LPGA Top 50 Best Teachers, and Golf Digest 50 Best Women's Teachers, and also the recipient of the LPGA's Nancy Lopez Golf Achievement Award. So, and splits her times, Cindy, between the Haven Golf Course in Green Valley, Arizona, and the club at Las Campanas in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So let's welcome our very special guest, Marvel Bernard.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. You
doing fantastic.
I did. You know, I didn't realize how early I was going to have to get up when I when you asked me. No, it's okay. I always
get up. You want to go back to sleep and we'll call you next week?
No, I'm loving what I'm hearing. That was an interesting conversation. I didn't hear all of it, but I like the end, the play your own game. I really think that can be a metaphor for life. You know, I think that's a really powerful message.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Cindy and I, we've talked about this many, many times, you know, over the years on our broadcast about really playing your own game. And you know, Cindy, you just got back from your boot camp down in Orlando. And, you know, that's really, in addition to obviously teaching them various skills that they're going to use out in the golf course, you're really teaching them that very point about sticking to your own game and not worrying about your opponent and how they're playing, worry about how you're playing. And I think that's some sound advice. Cindy, I'm going to just start really quickly with our guest here, and then you can take over. So Marvel, I wanted to ask you, and first off, am I pronouncing it correctly? Is it Marvel?
Yes. You pronounce both, Marvel okay. Bernard.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so I wanted to ask you, as I mentioned, you were elected the national president of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals, which is obviously a great honor. And I wanted to ask you, you know, obviously you've been a member of the LPGA for a long, long time, and you're, you know, teaching professional as well, and doing a lot of other different things to help grow the game. What is your vision for the LPGA TCMP? What is your long term? What are you looking at as you take over that national leadership, if you will? What is your vision for the LPGA?
That's such a good question. It's for me, it's engagement, and it's that all of our professionals have the tools they need to be successful, and that everyone is engaged in whatever fashion they need to be successful in the industry and in our organization. You know, one of the things we struggle with in the LPGA is that we're so spread out. You know, we have across the U.S., we have 5 sections, and some of the sections, the section I'm in has 12 states, and so it's very difficult to get people, you know, like the PGA section that I'm in, we have 1,200 members, and it's very condensed here in Arizona and southern Nevada. Mm-hmm. So when you have an event, you get a lot of people can come. And in the LPGA, you know, the travel and the expense of getting together is kind of a barrier. So we're coming up. Cindy is part of a committee that the Continuing Education Committee, where we are trying to find innovative ways to engage our members and get them involved, because as soon as you're engaged and involved, it makes the entire organization healthy. So that's my overriding goal.
Well said. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Cindy, what are your thoughts there? I mean, what do you see? Obviously, you travel a lot, and you obviously have been part of the LPGA for many, many years. What do you see as in conjunction to what Marvel just talked about, as a barrier that needs to sort of be worked through and to help the organization as a whole?
I believe that we needed this breath of fresh air in our organization, and Marvel's got some great ideas. You can tell that she's really dedicated some time thinking about what can help us learn and grow and come together as a group. And I believe she's implementing some great policies and procedures within the organization to help us do just that, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it because I think she's right on the right path.
Well,
sounds
and then
good.
The other thing we always tend, I think, I don't know if we do or if others do, but there's, you know, the PGA is out there, and again, as a member of both organizations, I love both. I wouldn't change my membership ever, but you know, it's back to what you guys were talking about with your last caller, that you have to play your own game. So we can't be the PGA. We're the LPGA. And we, you know, I always think about the boutique hotels versus the big hotels, you know, and that's what we are. We are what we offer. Our teaching of our teachers is second to none. I just went to a training seminar, got to sit in on the level 2 seminar. And it's just outstanding teaching, and it engages our members, and it ignites their passion for learning and for teaching. And I just think we have, oh, I just can't wait. We're just getting started on some stuff, and we've got more things in the hopper, and it's a very exciting time.
Wow, very, very interesting. Cindy, go ahead, and I know you've got some questions as well.
So are you going to be at the Founders Cup?
I am. Boy, am I.
Tell us about what your week's going to be filled with.
Okay, so I am so excited about this week. I feel like a kid waiting for Christmas. So on Wednesday, I'll drive up. I get to be there for the announcement of our new campaign called Drive On. And Cindy, I know you were there at the show when Roberta Bowman's new initiative was rolled out. Mike Wan gave us a little sneak preview of that. So that's happening Wednesday morning. And then Thursday is a board meeting all day. And then Friday, just some a meeting with some different people. We're doing some video work up there. And I get to drive Marilyn Smith around. She's one of our founding members. And so she and I will get to spend some time together. And I just love her. She's just such a great lady. And so that'll be fun. And Friday night is a dinner. Saturday, I race home and get prepared to take two busloads of my students up to watch the final day on Sunday. And that was a fun thing. I kind of thought it'd be fun to see if I could get some people to go up. And I called a bus line and got a price. And then I put out an email just wondering, you know, if anybody would be interested. And in about 2 hours, I had so much interest that I filled two buses and had to shut it off because I can only herd so many cats. And so we're going up Sunday, and that's going to be really fun. So it's a great week ahead.
Fantastic.
Holy
that's great.
I know.
That's fantastic. Cindy, go ahead.
So what's the number one thing you want to accomplish in your first term?
You know, just the other day I was going back through meeting minutes when I was on the board before, and there's so many things that we have talked about over the years, and, you know, everything sounds good, and we kind of get started a little, and then things just don't really come to fruition like I would like to see. And I'm a real, you know, I'm a person that likes to get things done. And so that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to pick about three things and just get them done. You know, I think that's success for us. And Cindy, you know, I love what you do. I follow you on Instagram and on LinkedIn. And, you know, I think both of us believe really strongly in marketing and marketing effectively. And that's what I want to do. I want to make sure that our members are getting our information in a way that ignites their passion to work for their organization. And I want the industry to see what we're doing. And I feel like we've got some work to do in that regard. But that's a big passion.
Awesome. Ted, go ahead.
You know, Marvel, that brings up a very interesting point, and you're exactly right. Kudos to you, Cindy, for all the great work that you do to promote the LPGA brand, and not just from the playing side, but also from the teaching side as well. And that really raises an interesting point, Marvel. And, you know, one of the questions I want to ask you is, what do you think that the LPGA organization can do to motivate more girls into becoming great teachers like yourself and Cindy? And what really needs to happen? And I think one of the things that you touch on that I'm going to let you talk, but is the marketing aspect. You know, when we think of golf, you know, as consumers, you know, we think of the great players that are out there, you know, both past and present, but we don't really hear a lot about the teaching side when we see it, you know, in the general media. And I would really like to see a more effective campaign in recruiting some of these young girls, because they're not all going to make it out on the LPGA Tour or the Legends Tour at some point down the road. And you need more great teachers out there inspiring and encouraging other young women to take up the game, not just to play, but to actually get involved in teaching. So what are your thoughts there? And what do you see happening from a marketing perspective and also in other areas to really move that agenda forward to get more young ladies in the teaching side of the game?
That's another really good question, and I just looked at the clock to see how much time we have here, because this is a major topic. So of mine. Speaking of the Symetra Tour, so at this training seminar that I just went to, it's our level 2 education. There, as people introduced themselves, I noticed a few of them were either current or have just come off the Symetra Tour. And over the years, I was on our board for 6 years. This was a vexing problem, that how do we get that word out to the players? And it's a sensitive subject. You know, you don't want to go up to someone and say, hey, you know, you're probably not going to make it here, so why don't you think about teaching? You know, you just can't. approach it that way. So we had not found a way to approach it. So these two young ladies, I made an announcement, and I said, any of you who've played on the Symetra Tour, would you please come see me at lunch? And so two young ladies came over, and the questions that I asked them were, how did you find out about the teaching side of it in the first place? How can we better support that connection? How can we make a connection with the Symetra Tour? And what advice would you give me to help make that happen? And they had some great, you know, just great ideas standing there at lunch. So what we've done in the teaching and club professionals, a few years ago I started a new member committee, and I put these two ladies on this new member committee with a subcommittee of Symetra. So what they're going to do is assist us in creating a pathway for the Symetra Tour players. And, you know, that's an obvious pipeline right there. The other thing I think of mm-hmm. is these gals that have come through the girls' golf programs, you know, they're starting to mm-hmm. get to the age where they could join the organization. And I think they've got a really, they've had such a great connection with us and a great introduction to the teaching division. So that's a possibility. Another venue that we're looking at, another avenue, are the college players, you know, and how can we make inroads there? And that's another situation where we know it's out there, we know there's a possibility, and we just haven't been able to really bring it to fruition. And then finally, the PGA, women of the PGA, we're getting a really great percentage of them are joining the TNCP, and I'm actually in charge of that side of it, that I'm offering assistance and coaching and whatever they need to become members of our organization. We allow them to come in as a level 3 already. They take their level 3 testing and get to skip the first two parts, because as PGA members, they've already had that education. So that is a huge, huge, huge push, and I already am seeing some movement there, so pretty exciting.
Fantastic. You know, and you raise some really great points. I think, and Cindy, again, this is something, I mean, we've talked about a lot of different things on this program over the years that since we've been doing it. And, you know, one of the other things is really from an educational standpoint. I mean, obviously the LPGA and its various branches, if you will, do a fantastic job once you get them in there. But there's really nothing in the general population that exposes people to golf other than, like I said, what we see on TV. I would really like to see maybe a better partnership with the golf industry, you know, with the school system somehow. And I know it's a difficult thing. It can be costly, but I think with corporate partners and things like that, and I think that maybe, you know, somehow offering it, you know, a better exposure through the school systems to golf in general, so that people are aware of that, because by the time, unless they're raised and, you know, born and bred to play golf from a very early age, most people don't really get a lot of exposure until much later in life. And by that time, they've already picked up other interests, whether it be other sports or other activities. And it's harder to really, you know, get that spark, if you will. So I would like to see it at a much earlier age. And I know there's a lot of great junior girl programs and junior golf programs, but they all tend to be more on the playing side. I would like to see something, you know, more on the teaching side and the development of becoming a great golf professional, not just, again, not just playing, but also teaching. What do you think about something like that, Marvel?
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I've not thought of that purely from the side of teaching or developing from the school age. You know, I think that's an interesting possibility there. You know, and when, again, back to play your own game, you know, I didn't start golfing myself till I was almost 40. And so I'm an example of someone who didn't come up the traditional way, and I think
right.
that message can be out there too, that you don't have to be a sure. you know 300 hitter to be a great teacher.
Right.
You know, I think that's the message too that has to get out there, that it's for everybody, and I do like the thought. You know, we've got 80,000 girls now involved in the LPGA USGA girls golf program, and again, I think that's going to be such a pipeline for many different things, for teaching, for the tour side. We've got several tour players that came up through that path, and so I think there's some possibilities there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Cindy, go ahead.
So you have won the Player Development Award for the PGA, and I just smile every time I see anything that you post. I know that you care, and I love your passion. So tell us, number one, what makes a really great professional, or a teaching professional, I guess I should say, and what do you do differently that makes everyone want to hang out with you? Because that's the truth.
That is very nice of you to say. And Cindy, the same could be said for you. You know, I see, when I look at passionate teachers and I look at what people post and what they're doing, I think that it's about imagination. It's about caring deeply for your students. I'm sure you do the same. I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about, you know, Mr. Smith and his slice, you know, and what we can do better. And And, you know, I like to have fun. It's like this bus trip. You know, I'd love to take a bus trip to Phoenix, so I created a bus trip to Phoenix. So I think it's just a combination of, you know, you want your students to love the game as much as you do, and you want them to be engaged and have a great time. There's nothing I love better than a good laugh, and so I like to keep my classes funny and fun, and I make up funny names for the classes. And, you know, it's just about the passion for it. As I'm talking to you, I'm up pacing around, you know, this topic really gets me going too. But the Player Development Award, you know, that's a thing that you never, ever start out to win awards. That's not why you do what you do, but you, to be recognized by your peers for the things that you're doing is just a tremendous, wonderful honor.
That's awesome.
Well deserved. Yeah, well deserved. Let me just ask one other question, because we're getting close to our time. Because and again, I hate to keep using this phrase, but you know, Cindy and I, we've talked about a lot of different things on this show, and one thing we talked about a long, long time ago, and I think this would be really something that would help. I would like to see golf embrace, particularly because, you know, we want to target obviously the next generation of golfers. I would like to see some sort of an ambassador to the game. I mean, years ago we had, you know, some great women who were not necessarily in the golf industry, but were just very strong, very captivating women, who had, you know, great careers in other areas, but loved, were passionate about golf. I would love to see some sort of golf ambassador, for women who not necessarily has to be in the golf industry, but just somebody who's passionate about the game, really get out there and promote it. Somebody that, you know, a lot of women can identify with, that would respect and appreciate. And I'm trying to think, and I can't even think of who I'm talking about. Cindy, we talked about this several years ago. Dinah Shore is who I'm thinking about. You know, she was a great ambassador for the game. You know, she had a tournament that, you know, took her name, but she was just somebody who just loved golf, and people could identify with her, even though she was a celebrity. What do you think about something like that, Marvel? What do you think about having somebody really identify golf to those next generations that they can look up to and say, you know what, hey, that she's, you know, it's cool what she's doing. What do you think about something like that?
Yeah, I think that's just a great idea. I just wrote that down because, you know, I think that catches everybody then. That's not just so specifically focused on a market. It's everybody. You know, there are women, two that come to my mind right now. Celine Dion is a great, I guess she just loves golf, and I wish we had some sort of connection with her. I got to find out who teaches her. And then Condoleezza Rice is also a big golfer and very visible person. But I think we need somebody kind of in the middle of that. You know, when you think about Dinah Shore, she universally appealed to everybody. And I'm going to get on that. Cindy? you and I, that's where we're committed to. Let's make this happen, because I think that's a tremendous
idea. I totally agree. Great idea, Ted. We're on it.
We're on it.
And I'm trying to there was another young well, I shouldn't say young, but a woman that was in the soaps. Short, who's the one, you know, Cindy, who I'm talking about, had long brunette hair, loves golf. And I'm trying to think, she was in one of the daytime soaps, big, big golf fan. I can't think, Susan Lucci, who was,
passed away.
Yeah. Did you? Oh, okay. Well, I guess we can't, yeah, I can't, guess
well,
we
no.
can't do that, but, I didn't really, no, I don't think she did, but anyways, but somebody like that, that's what I'm talking about. Somebody that identifies, you know, again, outside of the golf industry, and I know there are a lot of great women ambassadors. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Marilyn Smith, and obviously Shirley Spork, and, you know, the Nancy Lopez and that, and Annika Sorenstam. There's a lot of great women in golf, but they're all in golf. And I think for people outside of the game to really identify, it needs to be, in my opinion, it needs to be somebody outside of the golf arena that just loves and is passionate about the game and can really articulate why they love the game so much, even though they're not teaching and they're not out playing on tour. But what gets them out on the golf course each and every, you know, day, week, or whatever the case may be, that's the kind of person I think they need. But they have to have that charisma. And some of the ladies that you mentioned, Marvel, you know, Celine Dion, you know, someone like that, I think would be fantastic if that was, you know, able to happen.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts
on
that?
I'm thinking about that right now, who that person would be, because I think in some ways, you know, again, back to Dinah Shore, she was just universally loved, you know, and of course, we're living in a different time now than then, but I think that's just such a great idea. And you know, in the LPGA, we have the honorary membership, and we've talked a couple of times about these particular women, but I think Cindy and I will definitely, we're going to talk about this, because I think that's a brilliant idea. You know, it catches everybody, instead of specifically golfers, you know.
Right. I mean, you had, obviously there were celebrities. I mean, Bob Hope comes to mind on the men's side of things, but he crossed both barriers, but you know, he wasn't just limiting to the men's, but and Jack Lemmon, and a lot of big stars. And, you know, Bob Hope really, really, you know, talked about golf, and because of his humor and things like that, drew, I mean, he was over there with the USO tours and doing that sort of thing. And there's so many really, you know, avenues that you can do. And I know, you know, Marvel, what you said earlier, that you didn't want to, you know, sort of branch out too far afield, that you want to keep your agenda, you know, fairly regimented in maybe two or three points that you want to really focus through. Because I think if you get too many things, you know, too many, you know, pots in the fire, so to speak, then it's hard to, you know, get things done. But I just think, I don't know, I've just always thought, you know, that was one of the things growing up as a young boy, you know, seeing, you know, the Dinah Shore events every year and just seeing her. I mean, obviously she was a lovely woman in that and attractive to help too, but, you know, she was just somebody that I always thought was very, very, you know, interesting to talk about. And she just obviously had a passion for the game. And that's something that I think is really missing, is that sort of an ambassador for the game that can appeal to a broader spectrum of individuals, and not, and again, not that the people in the industry aren't doing a fantastic job, but I think sometimes you have to step out of the industry in order to really be appreciated. Just some thoughts.
Yeah.
Cindy, any final thoughts? Yeah. Any final thoughts, Cindy?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, Marvel, we want to thank you. We know it's early, and again, we appreciate you coming up. And again, congratulations on being the national president of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. We know you're going to do a fantastic job, and I agree wholeheartedly. I think Cindy does is a great ambassador herself of this game, both as a player and also as a teacher professional. And I like what you said earlier. I think it's about having fun and just, you know, getting excited about, you know, doing what we do. I think if you're passionate about what you do, I think you're going to do a fantastic job, no matter what it may be. And we wish you all the success on your first term. And we would love to have you back anytime. If there's things that you want to discuss that we can help get out there to the listeners, we'd be more than happy to accommodate you. So we would love to have you back in the future.
Thank you. This was wonderful. I really appreciate the invitation.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. All right. You have a great day. And
calling.
And thank you for joining us, Marvel, again on the Women of Golf.
Thank you so much.
Great
All right,
day.
Bye-bye. All right, Cindy. Great guest. Very interesting. Obviously has a lot of passion, as you said. You can definitely hear it in her voice. And I think she's going to be a great, president of the Teaching and Club Professionals Division. And I see that you're spinning another plate. You're adding something else to your repertoire, being on some of the committees and stuff like that. So, but what a great, what a great thing for you to do, obviously, to give back to the game that that obviously has given you a lot over the years. So you're going to have a tough time squeezing all of it in, but you managed to do it very, very eloquently. So congratulations on helping to grow the game.
Well, thank you. That's what we do.
That's right. Well, again, we want to thank our very special guests this morning, Kelly Tan, winner on the Smetra Tour last week, and we're looking forward to next week's winner and another interesting guest. So on behalf of Cindy Miller and I, thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you next week on the Women of Golf. Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Ted. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening this morning to the Women of Golf show. Tune in live each week by visiting blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf or on any of these social media platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, TalkStream Live, and of course Spotify. If you can't join us live, check out our on-demand section for previously aired broadcasts. To get updates for future shows and upcoming guests, you can follow us on Facebook at Women of Golf. You can also follow me on Twitter at TedandBuckCEO and Cindy at Cindy Miller Golf. Please remember to join us next week on the Women of Golf show. See you next time. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.